I'm Kate Remington, and I'm talking today with Eckhart Proy, the music director of the Stamford Symphony Orchestra, about the opening concert for this season, Saturday, October 5th, and Sunday, the 6th, at the Palace Theater. It's an all-Beethoven program. And Eckhart, first of all, it's so nice to have a chance to talk with you again.
Thank you very much.
What's really interesting about these three pieces, the Creatures of Prometheus Overture, the First Piano Concerto, and the Symphony No. 7, is that they have such fabulous melodies. Oh, my goodness. You just can get swept along. And Beethoven writes lots of great melodies, but I think these three together really illustrate what an artist he was at writing great melodies.
Well, but, you know, there is this argument, and I think it was Leonard Bernstein who made it, and it has caused a big controversy. It's like, did actually Beethoven write good melodies? And he argues that he was actually a really bad melody writer. And of course, I think every piece by Beethoven proves him wrong. There were unconventional melodies. There were unlike Schubert melodies, which was very, Schubert writes very song-like. Beethoven is, I think, a much more symphonic thinker. And sometimes just a one-note melody with Beethoven works, even though it's a very unconventional way of writing a melody. And I think, you know, what I like about Beethoven is also is that, you know, Piano Concerto No. 1 and Prometheus, I mean, these are rather early pieces in his career. And then we come back to Beethoven's 7th Symphony, which is really late in his career, and that it almost sounds fresher as a mature composer than when he's a young composer. And I like comparing the two, because we're right now always focused on Beethoven, you know, the grim old guy. But there was another Beethoven before that.
Well, the First Piano Concerto especially is a great illustration of that, because it was a really happy, optimistic time in his life when he wrote this. He didn't realize that he was going deaf. He was amiable. People in Vienna loved him because he didn't have this reputation of being, as you say, the cranky old guy. So I think that's really reflected in the First Piano Concerto.
I know. I think he was the life of the party. And as far as we know, I mean, you know, he dressed up and he was all good looking. He had a wig and was smiley. Had apparently a really good sense of humor, which we can't really tell, you know, from his later stuff, and I think all that you can hear in the Piano Concerto. Also, I think since it was written for him, as a kind of, you know, here I am introduction to Vienna. You know, this is who I am. This is what I can do as both composer and pianist. I think it tells us a lot about him as a pianist as well. You know, as this almost feared pianist, because he would destroy, you know, pianos left and right, and was famous for breaking pianos, you know, strings and keys, but was, you know, maybe not a particularly refined pianist like Mozart or so, but was just a powerhouse. And that was something that was brand new in Vienna, and people were just totally amazed by him and his playing.
Well, and it turns out a lot of piano manufacturers had to, like, up their game and build sturdier pianos so he wouldn't keep breaking them. And so we have Beethoven to thank, I think, for a lot of the innovations for pianos with heavier harps and sturdier frames, and then, of course, more subtle action with the keyboard, too. So,
yeah, and I think what is also amazing about him, and we can actually now hear that, I mean, a lot is talked about, you know, people being able to improvise really well back then. We don't really know much about it because there's barely a record of it. With Beethoven, he incorporates his improvisations on the piano, and that's what he was famous for. And he improvised until, you know, even after he was deaf, he was still sitting down at the piano and improvised for his friends, more or less in private. But that's what he was famous for. And he incorporates those improvisations, actually writes them down, and puts them in his piano concerto. So when you hear a cadenza, for instance, that was, I think, really written down from memory after one of his improvisations or several of his improvisations. And that gives us a really good sense of what a really great improviser he was and how creative he was in the moment. You know, because Beethoven, we always think about, oh, he worked so hard, and, you know, dozens of sketches, hundreds of sketches, and, you know, the process of work for him was so burdensome and so heavy-handed and painful. But actually, he was quite a creative guy who could just kick things out like Mozart did. But he just took a little more time for his first symphonies.
Well, I think the drudgery of actually writing down all those notes probably got to him too at times, because, you know,
it's
your
the
hand
worst
is...
thing. It's the worst thing. And you know, I had a composer friend of mine telling me, and I think we all know that, you know, in the good old times when we wrote letters, like sitting in front of a blank page of paper, it's like the worst thing there is, you know.
And the soloist for the first piano concerto, Alan Goldstein, is a real phenom. You guys are lucky to have him, and he knows these Beethoven concertos just inside and out. So,
and I think he brings both to the table. You know, when you do Beethoven, you need someone who has the power but also the refinement. You don't want a Mozartian player, and you also don't want just a Brahmsian player. I mean, you need someone who covers the whole range of Beethoven's expression, and also the ability, as you pointed out earlier, you know, the ability that the pianoforte holds nowadays, you know, this vast range of not only dynamics but colors, and all that needs to be brought out, and so it's kind of great having him. I mean, he's not that famous on the East Coast, I think. I don't know how often he's performed in New York. I think he had his Carnegie Hall debut, of course. He's a phenomenal player, a great musician, and I think he'll bring everything out that one might wish for in this Beethoven Piano Concerto No. 1.
Well, we touched on this briefly, you did, about how Beethoven can write a melody with one note. And the other major work on the program is the Symphony No. 7, where the flute gets one note for measure after measure until that melody really gets going. And as you mentioned, that's just so innovative and so Beethoven, really.
And it also points out that the melody is only as good, and particularly in symphonic writing, as its accompaniment and as its harmonic context. And I think something like this works only if you really observe what is underneath. So when you have yum, bum, 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 rum, bum, 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 you can say, oh, God, you know, that's not a melody. But what is really happening is all happening underneath. And some people are very conscious about it, and some people just listen to it and thought, you know, that really works, and I don't know why. And it's because there's much more to a melody than just the melody.
It's going to be a wonderful program. And Eckhart, thank you so much for spending some time and telling us a little bit about it.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.